Hello, everyone. Meredith Dykstra here, your host for Cellular Healing TV. Welcome. This is episode 127. So excited you're joining us. We have Dr. Dan Pompa on the line, of course, our resident cellular healing specialist. And today we have a very special guest for you. His name is Michael Payne, and he is an expert in autism and Lyme disease. We're going to be really delving deeply into those topics today. But before we get started here, let me tell you guys a little bit more about Michael. All right, so Michael Payne is the founder of Living Well Today International and the creator of Solamar Solution. He graduated from the Medical College of Virginia at VCU with a master's degree in rehabilitation and is a visionary thinker about the disorders of the 21st century complex patient. Michael has been engaged for many years in helping families with autism and Lyme disease. With a synergistic blend of functional medicine, restorative endocrinology, and biotherapeutics, Michael is known as an innovator in autoimmune and neurological rehabilitation. He's a popular speaker and has been featured at the Lyme-Induced Autism Conference, several ZYTO conferences, and many autism organizations and national radio shows. So welcome, Michael. We're so excited to have you on.
Thank you. It's very exciting to be here. I get to talk to people who are smart and need to know the message about autism and Lyme.
Now, listen, these are some of our favorite subjects, you know, here on Cell TV.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because it's a cellular problem we're going to talk about. Right. I mean, you know, Michael, I mean, you know, you've been, you know, doing this a long time, and, you know, you lined up with our cellular message, you know, and you're one of our, you know, really important core doctors doing this work and making a difference. So first of all, we want to thank you for being on the show. We want to thank you for the work that you're doing, and you're spreading this message, you know, and we are truly grateful for that. But, you know, Michael, I always love starting by asking this conversation. Okay, you know, how in the world did you get involved with Lyme and autism? I mean, come on, these are the most controversial topics, you know, I mean, out there. I mean, you must have a big target on your back, and, you know, here we come. I mean, why these two?
Well, until this show, I've made the past 5 years, I've decided not to be very well known, and I try to cover my footprint.
Very smart.
and we were on that way, and so here's how we got into it. In 1992, I actually broke my neck and I was paralyzed. And I was an investment banker for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And so in 93, I couldn't really come out of the house for a couple of years, and for a year. And then I went to therapy, and someone said, well, if you're not going to be who you're going to be, who are you going to be? And so I went to a place called Medical College of Virginia, and they said, you ought to meet with the head of the department. And I started just taking classes. And then one day I had a degree. I'm really not sure how that happened. So I kept working at it. And one day a woman named a local doctor who is famous for autism, I said, you know, I think I can help the kids. I think we know something in functional medicine. It's not just about giving them an antibiotic or Klonopin or something of that nature and trying to cover the symptoms. I think they have significant gut issues. And so I learned about that in a place called functional medicine. All of us kind of know who Jeff Bland is.
Yeah.
Some of my friends would get in cars and we'd drive around and follow Jeff Bland. The first time I ever went to the meeting, it wasn't really I couldn't understand the words, but I basically flicked my Bic and went to just something like a 1968 concert. But the bottom line was he was very intelligent, and his words helped heal me because I used things that were anti-inflammatory. I used a lot of things to rebuild bone and connective tissues, and it was functional, not necessarily medical. And so functional medicine was where we started, and I did that for my own. I'm a pretty selfish guy until I started getting into 5,000 kids with autism. You can only imagine as an investment banker that I might be that way. So I really did it for myself, if you really want to know the truth. And but by 1998, I had enough energy to maybe try something. So I went, started wandering back into some reason they let me in this medical school downtown, and I got a degree in brain and spinal cord rehabilitation.
Yeah, that's awesome. And somehow you ended up in our cellular world, you know? I mean,
yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting when you're working with the most difficult people on the planet, Lyme, autism, Lou Gehrig's.
Yeah.
I don't do Alzheimer's. There's a certain trend. I work with Parkinson's, I work with actually several what you would call ALS, I guess, and we see actually an underlying theme. And as we drilled down, we went through functional medicine. I'm a homeopath or a homotoxicologist. They've just written an article about me in Europe called Waves of the Future. I use laser and hyperbaric and LiVO2 or LiVO2 oxygen. And so I kept drilling down and drilling down. And then you appear. I used to actually speak for a network marketing company that had some zeolites, and they actually worked pretty good, but not really where we wanted to go. And then this whole idea of fractionating it down to a smaller piece, and the way I explain it to my patients is we started with a basketball, and then we went to a volleyball, and then we went to a ping pong ball, and now we're down to a BB. Yeah. And so that can get into the cells and actually clean up the cells. So as my life progressed over this past 15 years and 10,000 patients, I just had a passion for making their lives better.
Yeah.
And so we kept drilling down and drilling down. And so we have a comprehensive rehabilitation program. And I don't treat Lyme. I don't treat any of it. I treat neuroimmune dysfunction caused by cellular toxicity.
Yeah.
So when you came out with your studies and your message, I said, well, this guy sounds just like me. So I think I will, as opposed to recreating it, I'd like to get on this, in this train of thought and see how we can further this program in order to help people, because that's where the problem is. The problem, we got down to autism about 5-6 years ago, and we started running mitochondrial disorder type blood testing. And it turned out, I would say 80% of them could measure mitochondria dysfunction.
Yeah.
But if you don't start there, the rest of it is just not a waste of time, but you get violent, vicious cycles in autism.
Yeah. It's remarkable. You know, years ago in my research, when I literally started coming up with the 5 R's, and I can never say that I came up with it because the way it was organized, I'm telling you, God spoke through me. However, when I started researching this, it really was a cell energy problem, and so much of it focused on the mitochondria. Just thinking past shows, I talked to Dr. Joe Mercola. Our whole focus was the mitochondria. I mean, if you bring up the mitochondria to Joe Mercola, he literally starts wagging his tail, and he almost comes out of his skin. I mean, literally, I'm telling you, it's...
I've been in the same room with Joe, and he does have a tail. I would agree with that.
He wags that tail. He gets darn excited. He really has a great heart to make a difference. And he experiments.
He's a warrior. He's a warrior.
Yes, he really is. And he experiments on himself. So it's like I at least have my kids to experiment on. Easier than just But the point. Then I interviewed Thomas Seyfried, cancer. It's a metabolic issue, right? I mean, Warburg all the way back in the early 1900s showed this is a mitochondrial issue. For those lay people watching this right now, your mitochondria is where you produce all of your cellular energy. And I'm telling you, it is under attack today, whether it's a Lyme disease, which we'll get to, or autism. And then, hey, Meredith, you sent me over and, Michael, I'll send it over to you, but just a great, article where they're examining the research, and I'm just looking at it now. But, it was this person who wrote the article was disturbed by the fact that they hear all of this research on the mitochondria and how it's linked to, all these different conditions and diseases. And yet they weren't talking about toxins, the medications, and even the vaccinations that are really damaging the mitochondria. They kind of surfaced over it. But meanwhile, this is what all the studies are showing. And yet, because the drug companies don't want to go there, we're not hearing it in the media, what's happening to the mitochondria because of toxins, Michael. And like I said, even toxins from medications and vaccinations, doctor-given, iatrogenic disease, where they're causing the illness, but even the toxins from our environment. But unfortunately, people are slaying over it. But that's the issue, Michael, is that people's mitochondria aren't working. They're dysfunctioning. Yes, it leads to cancer. But you said it in the beginning of this show. You said we see this, basically all these neurodegenerative issues that are happening in adults really, it's adult autism. It's the same problem, right, Michael? What are you seeing there?
It really is. There's specific parts of the brain. It starts by the fact if you have a leaky gut, you have leaky veins, and eventually you have a leaky brain.
That's right.
And so slow things, actually in the Vargas studies at Johns Hopkins, you would see that inflammatory cytokines, even if you still believe in the blood-brain barrier, inflammatory cytokines go to the midbrain area and start to dysregulate your circadian rhythms. They then alter the way you have memory, mood, and behavior. And this inflammation in the midbrain area actually causes the beginning. The beginning of all that tissue damage. Parkinson's is called neurofibrillary entanglement. That is a slow burn, basically, of the substantia nigra. You go to probably still some of the chemistry is in autism, but it's not autism, but Alzheimer's. Yeah. But what you see is this instant inflammatory rush through the brain, either by virus or by, again, iatrogenic issues that we might be putting young children through. What it starts to do is this inflammatory issue, specifically in the midbrain, the meninges, and that's where the study is. You would like this study that I have. It's NIH and University of Virginia. So they have discovered, and it may change everything that they have to say, they have discovered that the brain has immune system in it. Well, strangely enough, because it was so hard to see, it was lymphatic drainage, and because it was so hard to see, they didn't know it was there. But then I got 100 responses saying, well, don't they know this in Europe, Mike? I mean, you've been saying this for 10 years. I used to be on a homeopathic board called Guna, and I worked with Guna quite a bit. And so they talk about cytokines, chemokines, and all the signaling between the nervous system and the immune system as your first defense. So what happens is when you're young, especially, you can't defend yourself against everything that we're throwing at these young kids. Their blood-brain barrier isn't fully developed for probably 2 years.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter what the infection is, but then we come out and we just systematically start the process. And so you see it in genetically modified foods. You see it using antibiotics and imbalancing the microbiome, which generates its own set of problems. And then you see it in viruses that are attached to certain things like Cytomegalovirus, Epstein-Barr, and the rest. So you've got a constant assault against the immune system. The brain says, and I think this is the most important thing to understand, the immune system says, hey, I need some help. And there's a feedback loop. And that's where the signaling is in that new thing they discovered, lymphatic drainage. He said the nervous system has its own immune system. Wow. So there is a feedback. And so the feedback then says, hey, I'm in trouble down here.
That's right.
Here's the homeopathic version of it. The body gets tired of defending itself. So it adopts to a non-response. It adopts to a non-response, leaving opportunistic infections in a way to take over the microbiome. And then we start generating inflammatory cytokines that end up in the brain, end up in joints, end up everywhere.
Yeah. And for our viewers, cytokines, it's part of the immunity, right? I mean, it drives cytokines to drive inflammation to protect itself from a virus or, any type of invader. However, when it becomes chronic, now we have cytokines driving inflammation chronically. Now we have inflammation chronically in the brain, gut, wherever, and now we have massive interference and massive disruption at the cellular level. So, right. So, okay, let's take the conversation further. We know this is happening. So, great. What are we doing about it? This is a different approach than the medical field is doing, obviously. I don't know what they're doing at this point, if anything at all. So,
I think there's room for all of us in this if we could get standing. But this is really good science. This is not some kind of guy standing on the corner going, I went to this school or I've got an online degree and it is real science and it's science yet to be seen. And mainly because nobody studied the brain. And there was a release today that they mapped the brain. There's 100 new regions they didn't know. Well, of course there is. It's called the default mode network. There's all kinds of microglia and all that kind of stuff that are carrying messages, and it's a pulsed message. When the cells are dirty, there's mitochondrial reactivity in the brain. There's oxidative stress, and then it fills with things like aldehyde, ammonia. And in the mold people, what we're seeing is you're making your own carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so you can only imagine a brain steeped in carbon monoxide trying to think or behave. You can't really, you don't have any point of reference, and you don't have any way to create learning, memory, or behavior that is in a responsible way.
You know, Michael, you know my message is, look, you have to fix the cell to get well, but, you know, more specifically, you have to detox the cell to get well. And, you know, what you said is so true, right? We have a faulty cell, and the cell itself is making energy and not able, once it's dysfunctioning, to get rid of the very toxins it makes, you know, and then the cell becomes more and more toxic, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, you're saying this, the brain is becoming more and more toxic. It starts producing even more toxins, you know, like carbon monoxide, ammonia, you know, all of these things, they start building up. And this is the key. So really, detox, again, we have to upregulate cell function so it can do the job of getting rid of these things. You know, again, a colon cleanse is not, or a juice cleanse is not going to change what you just described in the brain.
And it's not, because it's kind of trapped in there, and you need special kind of ideas to provoke the release. The first thing is the cell nutrients and ATP and that sort of stuff is really important. We've got some other ways of dealing with that. One of the things that also happens it's just like what you say in your education pieces. The first thing that happens is the cell becomes overwhelmed. It then goes into a state of oxidative stress. Yeah. It can't carry the energy from the energy source into basically there's a fuel barn at over at the nuclear power plant in here, and they carry the fuel ATP over to the incinerator on, say, let's just call it a John Deere tractor, which is really called a chaperone molecule. And so you can't complete the synthesis, so you don't have enough energy. The cell becomes overwhelmed, and then the cell becomes toxic. That's so right. You've got to feed the cell. You've got to reduce the inflammation. You got to feed the cell to make sure it's starting to do what it's supposed to do.
Absolutely.
And then you clear the oxidative stress, and that's where you have made a big difference.
Our number four is, you know, inflammation, oxidation. You have to You have to clear that. Our number three is what you just described, the ATP. That's restoring cellular energy. Mm-hmm. So, no doubt. I mean, these, you know, it's funny because you and I had the methylation conversation, and in the autism world, that was like the big thing, right? Identifying the MTHFR genotypes, right? And we thought we solved the whole problem. Now, as it turned out, okay, great. You know, all these autistic kids have methylation issues, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's just a part of the picture, right? It's like, you know, one part of the picture, I should say. If you don't have these issues, then what's going to happen? Nothing.
Well, we had to continue to drill down. I ran over 750 genetics tests from 2004 to 2007, and I went, okay, I don't think it's going to take us anywhere. And there were people who did it infinitely much better than I did, right brain or left brain, whatever it is.
Amy Masco did it better than any of us, right? I mean, my gosh.
Uh-huh. I didn't want to use her name in case, but I was the Amy Yasko darling from 2003 to 2006. Nobody else was paying attention to her. And I said, I don't want to do this Dan method anymore. So I actually left my, my Dan doctor that I was working with, and became the Amy Yasko darling until about 2006. And so I ran about 750 panels.
So wait, you went through the same evolution I did with autism, right? It was the Dan's protocol. I think it was just, you know, the basic core of that was fish oils and probiotic, right?
Yeah, right.
There was a few other nuances, but that was pretty much it, right? Okay.
I'm glad because I wasn't very bright in those days, but that's what it was.
Yeah, but people are still doing that, right? Thinking they're going to get the result. Then it went to the genetic thing, right? We both came out of that realizing, okay, you know, we're really not any further along as far as really helping these cases. Mm-hmm. So same evolution we went through. And now here we are today, both at the cell going, this is the issue.
Mm-hmm. This is the issue. And there's so much richness of what we need to continue to do there. And so some of the things that we've wrapped around that is actually pulse technologies that were supportive. Like, you know, they call them Rife machines and Tesla lights and things like that. We do all of that. But the reality is, and we're waiting to see, we're building our own kind of equipment, you know, through a lot of expert engineers around the world, and to see how this can be restorative. Most people think about it as just killing things, but there are restorative frequencies to the cell, because you and I both know that the cell gate, the calcium channels and other things, are gated by a voltage. So, but until you clear the metabolic waste inside the cell, there's no way to recharge the voltage, and the voltage opens and closes the calcium channel.
Yeah.
And so there's something called a G alpha protein that regulates that. We've got to turn that one on as well to enhance detoxification and removing the metabolic waste. So yeah. there may be more to it.
You know, it's such a relief and a breath of fresh air, you know, when you resonate with someone else that, you know, realizes that true detox is a cellular issue. I mean, you kept saying that word. If we have to get the cell to remove the debris. We have to get the cell to, yes, that's the truth, right? You know, and really that's what my 5 R's is. It's that roadmap, remove the sources, right? I mean, we have to start there. You know, R number two is we have to regenerate these membranes, the outer and that mitochondrial membrane, right? That leads right into R3, restoring cell energy. You said it, mm-hmm. reducing the oxidative stress and inflammation, and then finally methylation.
Finally methylation. And I spent years talking about, that is a COMT, and if we're going to get the MTHFR to talk to the CMT and the CBS and the SUOX, you know, we have to make it work a certain way, and we have to enter these in at a certain time. It just didn't work.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's too complex. You know, Michael, my gosh, it's like every few months that we realize, oh, there's another pathway that adapts to this pathway and this nutrient. I mean, it's just,
What I called it was we're in the middle of a spinning Rubik's Cube, and we just hope all the colors line up in one side sometime.
Yeah.
That's basically what it was.
Yeah, it's true. You know, and ultimately, I think we love the complexity of things, right? However, the answer is always something more simple than that. How about remove the interference and, you know, the body does the healing? I mean, honestly, it sounds trite, but it is honestly that simple. We have to go all the way upstream and say, okay, we know this is breaking in the cell. We know the cells are malfunctioning. Okay, so what's causing it, and what can we do to fix it and remove it? I mean, you know, it's not looking at the next genome Rubik's Cube, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
So that's where we came. And then when a lovely doctor that we'll be working with, and again, you know, medical people need to know about it, as well as, you know, rehabilitation people, because this, and they should be working side by side with this idea.
No doubt.
But Dr. Caldwell, between us, we've seen 30,000 autistic kids. She's seen 20. I've seen 5 or 10, mm-hmm. you know, and so it's been really important, but we've got a couple again that every time, a couple of kids that we've introduced it to very rapidly, and it's been very good. Some of the great examples of what we've experienced already is when we added the homeopathic remedies staged in just after we've gotten the cell a little cleansed, we've been able to specifically remove remnants of cytomegalovirus. And again, I don't know if I want to be saying that on any kind of YouTube, but you know, but we've been able to mitigate the infection, and people stop crashing from their CMV infection or EBV. The other ones have been actually even more metabolic. A 62-year-old woman who just so much clearer in her thinking. She's been a health nut forever. And at this point, the clarity in her thinking, the brain fog. So what I think it's doing is removing the ammonia, even as well as the aldehydes.
Yeah.
And so we'll get data on that as time goes by. But the probably the most interesting one is a 60-year-old doctor who had Lyme. She's well, she's not by you, but she's on the West Coast there. But that we work with, auto crash, brain injury, been in recovery for a number of years. I've had her for the last 2 years. Between this and some homeopathic remedies that we use, she actually had a big response just this past week, and her thinking between the bind, strangely enough, it is cyto detox plus bind. It really does help, because I think you've got to have a binder.
The cyto detox, you know, you referenced in the very beginning of our conversation, you know, it's unique because, you know, not only does it get into the cell, it crosses into the brain, right? And it's a unique particle because it does bind a lot of these wastes that you're talking about, the ammonia, the, you know, these small, very small particles, even biotoxins. And there's research even showing how it, you know, can bind virus in these types of things. So it's really an interesting, you know, particle to work with, something that goes into the cell, cleans up the cell, but also the brain. And when you put it in a system that we call TruCellular Detox, where we're grabbing it to make sure it goes all the way out of the body, you know, it has to be at the cornerstone, you know, of what we do. You know, I'm interested, Michael, and I know that our viewers are as well, some of the pulse therapy that you're a real expert here. I mean, we get it. I mean, some of our viewers understand Rife machines for killing, and you mentioned that, right? Hitting the same frequency in viruses, Lyme, spirochetes, they can die. That technology has been around for a long time. But you mentioned the healing component of some of these. You know, we've heard maybe PEMF, I mean, different, there's all types of different frequency machines. How do they work? What do they do? Mm-hmm. And what are some really good ones that you might recommend to our viewers that, you know, could be part of their therapy?
Yeah. Well, that's a really great question. And thank you for letting me talk about it. We've been at it about 6 years. And the reason is, again, we kept getting to these places where we couldn't push through the barrier. So what we needed to do is find a pulsing idea, and it pulses. That's the key. There's the first thing that we do with it is we restore collagen. Think about it, doctor. The first place that all this injures is basically the collagen. The collagen is the base regulating system of the body. So for once the cell is healthy, we really need to have that to be able to travel. And guess where it travels? Travels across the ligaments. It travels across the collagen. Even your bones are very much alive because it has a periostium around it, and that's collagen. So frequency is traveling through your collagen to restore those cells.
Yeah, now, I know, you know, PEMF is a pulsed electromagnetic type of frequency. Is that one of the devices, just one? I mean, there's many, and I know that.
We have that as actually secondary. We use, I'll tell you who we use. We use Pulsed Technology in Plano, Texas, okay. And we use BCX Ultra, and the people thank me for both of those. It facilitates a more rapid healing, but what we're trying to do is restore the energy flow, because you've been cut off for so long, you don't even know how to retrain the energy. And so something like a frequency of 1028 restores collagen. When it restores collagen, now that you have your cell healthy, it can send a message. You know, you have 45 brain cells in your heart, 45,000 brain cells in your heart. So if the collagen is healthy, the information can travel back and forth.
Yeah, so it's a unique way to R number three. You know, I always say that if we don't restore cellular energy, it's very difficult even to get anything else working in the cell, right? It's impossible to detox. It's impossible to downregulate, you know, inflammation of the cell. So this is an interesting way, it sounds like, to, you know, get the energy going. I mean, is that really the whole point of it?
The whole point of it, there's two kinds of energy that you're really going to – you're going to see in the future. One is pulse technologies, and two is biophotonic. And what that means is laser. And a lot of chiropractors have lasers, but yet again, all they do is use it to, you know, manage pain and a few things like that. There's places in the brain that should be treated as well. And for that one, we use a 250-watt laser, a 100-watt laser, which sounds very powerful, even a 45-watt laser if you can't afford the other ones. And basically, that allows, again, the information to flow through the system. And it pushes out, especially in the mitochondria. You should be more interested of laser because the light comes in to the mitochondria and converts from light to energy. And it restores energy in the mitochondria. So laser is a fantastic one, but you got to expand your vision of how you're going to use it.
Yeah. So what are some of your favorite lasers for that very purpose?
Well, I'm very limited in that one. A couple of mine are actually, but the Q light is very good. And I don't go up to the $45,000 lasers. I do have a $22,000 that's made by a person here in Richmond, Virginia.
Actually. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm just wondering, you know, it's like, okay, great. I mean, you know, a lot of our docs use these things, like you said, probably more for pain than even the functions that we're talking about as far as getting out the mitochondria to produce, you know, the ATP that it needs. You know, is there anything on the market for just the average user that they could purchase that's in a reasonable price range?
Yeah, Q Light between $3,000 and $5,000, and it has several. Yeah, it's, you know, not 22,000. The 22,000s are, you know, I think they're reserved for people who have to really treat difficult cases.
Right. Yeah, and I want our viewers to see, too, it's a piece of this puzzle, right? Remember, this is one off, right? So, you know.
It is one off, and I'm glad you talked about it, but it is, in fact, one off.
Yeah, but it's really unique. I mean, the science here, you know, interests me greatly. And, you know, I followed Rife and, for Lyme. You know, for years I had an old Doug Coyle Rife machine, which still works, right? So you're using some of the Rife technology, not just to kill bacteria, Lyme disease, et cetera, but you're using some of the Rife technology for stimulating healing?
Yes. When you go to higher frequencies, not just at 727 or any of those kind, some of the machines that I have are generating frequencies at, you know, 39,000.
So what are some of the Lyme frequencies that actually resonate at the same frequency Lyme does? What are some of those frequencies?
Well, 40,000 will push it out, 40,000 hertz, or if you go down to 6, if your machine does 6, 10, or 40, it's a good start. It'll start healing the body in a way. It'll bring it to a higher vibratory rate, so it won't vibratory rate, so there won't be any, shall we say, your body will heal itself. It'll push everything out. So 40,000 is my favorite because everybody gets better. Nobody gets bored in a meeting if you play 40,000 across the room. Nobody gets bored. Everybody just starts getting, but you can go down to 10,000. You can go down to 6,000. We've been up as high as 300,000 for certain, like Ehrlichia and those kind of things. There's a woman named Charlotte Bone or Charbonne. And Nina Silver, if people need to do a lot of reading, Nina Silver's book is the definition of frequency medicine for Lyme disease.
Yeah, I mean, you can pick up Rife machines. You know, there's always Rife machines for sale. You know, if you get on these Lyme blogs, you know, people picked them up for $500. I mean, you know, $1,000. I mean, again, people use them and they stop using them and they sell them. It's kind of like the exercise equipment you see in everyone's home.
The reason that they're selling them is because they got Rife fatigue because of all the literature really saying, let's blow these things up, let's blow these things up. But none of them talk about restoring brain function and neuroimmune communication. And that's what we're leaders in.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's why I wanted you to talk about it, because I think that, you know, people that, you know, have to understand, I mean, this is a whole new technology using this type of machine. And, you know, what are some of the frequencies that you're using for that? I mean, you know, healing these, getting the brain to heal, I should say, the body to heal the brain.
Again, they have to be higher frequencies, and they're between 40 and 60,000. You really have to go much higher. You have to have a machine that will generate them. The first thing is I have personal frequencies, and I could go get those for you, to be honest with you, but it's kind of like having a cell phone. You know, it's I don't know what my wife's phone number is right this minute. I just hit a button. Because I programmed them in a long time ago.
Exactly. It's so true. Yeah. Yeah,
but I'm just going to tell you, 40,000. If you don't know what to do, 40,000 is the number.
40,000. Hey, this is, people love this. This is great because I guarantee you, we have a lot of viewers who have these machines, use these machines, and I'm always asked the question, you know, of, and I'm like, hey, look, you know, I'm not the expert here. I use one. I have a lot of my clients who use them. But, you know, there's a lot of experimentation that has to go along with finding the right frequencies. So
it might be a memory block because I just don't want to say it online. Sorry. But
I don't blame you. But, that's exactly right. Okay, so, you know, with the autism cases and what we can easily make this transition into Lyme, Meredith, you look like a little angel sitting there.
You're like this. What is that?
The sunshine is streaming in, so it's very dramatic.
Yeah. I thought I was back at Lord's. I thought I was back at Lord's having an ascension moment here.
Spiritual experience here on Cellular Healing TV.
Yeah, I was worried that you were ascending. I was worried that you were being raptured out at this very moment.
My real worry was is they gave a rapture and I didn't get to go. So,
we don't want you to miss out.
Michael and I are left here with this conversation. It's so funny because I was reading the Bible this morning, and that was actually one of the places I was reading. You know, it talked about the rapture in Matthew. You know, I was like, you know, I was just, you know, always perplexed, you know, by how that's all going to happen. But anyways, that's another subject we got off track. Oh, you're back.
That is another subject, but I got a long story there to tell you. I actually used to run these things called Emmaus walks, and then I went and actually walked in the wilderness for 40 days. So in a place called Spain, northern Spain.
Fasting? Did you fast?
Are you kidding? I tried, but I can't speak to an angel right now and say that I did fast all the way. I really had a lot of pistachios and native cheese, but I walked from a place called Lourdes to a place called Santiago.
Mm. Over your left shoulder, there's an angel, and then, of course, you know, Meredith looking all angelic.
Angels on the show today. We have a very spiritual presence here.
Yes, that's good.
No doubt. Well, listen, it's the work, you know, that you're doing is amazing. I mean, ultimately, we got to fix this brain and this brain, you know, and ultimately it boils down to fixing the cell. You know, so, you know, tell us a little bit more before we transition, you know, into some of these Lyme cases, which is a modern day epidemic. You know, anything else that, you know, our autistic viewers or kids with autism should know?
Yeah. It is a neuroimmune communication issue. It's not just, but the gut is wrapped in all kinds of immunity and brain cells. There has to be feedback between the brain and the gut. Now, that's been easily said, but that's really autoimmune. There's so much junk in the cells and so much debris along the gut-associated lymphoid tissue that they always have high histamines and cytokines, and they're always in a state of inflammation, which basically separates or creates a separation between memory learning and behavior, the centers of the brain responsible for memory learning and behavior. They're fully functional. They're very bright. They just happen to be separated from certain parts, certain functions in their brain. So I have great hope that I'm still working towards something that will help them. And so you can talk about all of it, but until we really clean up the process, healthy mommy, healthy baby, and be concerned and be critical, like Andrew Wakefield talks about, to just examine. We're not bad mouthing vaccines, just examine and see what their role will be.
People just need to do the investigation for themselves. You know, the movie Vaxxed that Wakefield put out, everybody that movie. You know, it's not an anti-vaccine movie. All it is that William Thompson, the gentleman who worked for the CDC, basically was told to fudge the numbers, change the numbers to make it look like there's no connection with vaccination. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really what the movie's about. It's about a cover-up. And it's part of an education I think that all of us need. Because the pediatricians interviewed in that movie, they said, well, of course I believe the CDC. Well, of course, you know, these people are brilliant at the CDC. And yet when they saw what happened, they too were stunned that the government body there to protect us, you know, was fudging numbers. You know, look, I just tell people, educate themselves, Michael. You know, I'm not telling you to vaccinate, not vaccinate. I'm telling you, you better make wise choices today.
Right. And I've just got to say, you know, as the years have gone by, I can't really, I'm probably saying the same thing some government guy might say. As it's so multifactorial at this point, the vaccines may just be the tipping point.
No, I agree. I don't think the vaccines in and themselves are the only problem. I think that, you know, kids born with massive lead levels to moms who have lead, have silver fillings in their mouth, you know, they dump their mercury into the child. I wouldn't go on and on. How about the fact is you're right. Autism is an autoimmune condition. So we know that moms that are autoimmune, their chances of having babies that are autoimmune or babies that are vaccine damaged go through the roof, right? We are in an epidemic of toxins that are damaging the cell, and that's the show, right?
Yep.
Like the vaccine is the thing. It's just one more thing. So I'm not believe.
So to step back from that just a little bit and say, I think in April when I come to your conference, we'll be announcing Healthy Mommy, Healthy Baby program worldwide because I'd like to have people 27 months is when I'd like to have them. I'd like to detox them for 9 months, clean them up, get them ready, get the hormones bounced, get the Starbucks out of their system and birth control pills and actually remove the debris and the remnants homeopathically of the aberrant vaccines. So Healthy Mommy, Healthy Baby has been one of our programs, but we just haven't launched it. We just do it locally. Go ahead. And so we're going to use your pieces as a core for many wrap. We're going to have many wrappers around it. And Healthy Mommy, Healthy Baby should be one of them. Autism should be another.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. Because look, it's generational. You know, lead affects four generations. We got lead out in the 1970s. Four generations. Physically inherited from mother to child, genetically inherited because it's turning on certain genes, and it will affect four generations from the 1970s. You know, just breeding it out alone will take four generations. You know, so, you know, approximately 300 to 400 years. You know, mercury, we're in the mercury generation from mom to baby, and now the glyphosate generation, which we know glyphosate is being sprayed on everything that we're eating, putting in our bodies. And, you know, Senep's work showed that it makes these heavy metals and other toxins go where? Go deeper into the brain, into the tissue. Man, I tell you, you know, this is where we have to wake up. Healthy mom, if we want to affect autism, we better affect the mother's health. I could not agree with you more. It starts with a healthy mother, man. I'm on that as well.
It's not their fault, but if we want to reduce the chances, if we want to reduce the chances of that baby interacting with the current environmental toxins, the generational environmental toxins, then we need to do something about it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Michael. Okay. Let's shift. Lyme disease. I mean, come on. There's nothing more controversial. I remember it wasn't but 10 years ago that standard medicine said it didn't even exist. Michael, how far have we come?
Chris Christopherson said he had it and Christine Aguilera said she had it. So when important people get it, maybe somebody will listen. It's particularly bad. It started on the East Coast and the birds migrated. And when I used to be called into a place called Albany, New York, they'd drive me out and I'd see 40 people and give a talk on new ways of dealing with Lyme and autism, mainly Lyme in that case. There'd be generations of Lyme disease people that literally their blood was thick. They looked blue. If you hadn't been around them, they didn't even know they were blue looking. So they've been pharmacists and don't even remember going to pharmacy school. They have four kids and all the kids have Lyme disease. Well, that has kind of come on down through, and ground central last year was Pennsylvania. It went through New Jersey. It's here in the top of Maryland and Northern Virginia now. But that doesn't mean everybody else isn't exposed. So Lyme disease is from the proteins and other things created in Lyme disease is an autoimmune neuroimmune dysfunction.
Absolutely.
It is, in fact, an infection. It is, in fact, an infection that disrupts, the brain. And then there are parasites associated that are co-infections like brucellosis nematodes. There are Ehrlichias. There's such a vast one person here has Lou Gehrig or ALS, and it's basically Rocky Mountain spotted fever moving through her nervous system into the bulbular areas of her brain. So the reality is that most of these brain shrinking diseases are related to low grade or even massive infection. And I don't even know if you need a tick bite to have them anymore.
Yeah, no, I think that moms can pass it to children. There's research now showing that sex can be sexually transmitted, right?
Wow.
Most people go, I don't remember being bit by a tick. Here's the interesting thing, Michael, is that there's places on the East Coast where it's estimated that 90% of the people have been infected with Lyme, but yet all of them aren't sick, right? So just like Epstein-Barr virus, we can go down a lot of lists. People have these viruses, but they aren't sick. So what does that tell us?
It tells me that the neuroimmune response is different and stronger in their body. Mm-hmm. And especially, here's the bad news until lately, but men could be out swimming in creeks and have chiggers and ticks. And, I would run people and find 600 times the level of antibodies for Babesia or for Borrelia. And, they didn't even have a symptom.
Yeah, no, I know. I see it too. And it's remarkable. I think that there's two things here, at least from my perspective. It's genetics play a factor, of course, right? But then there's also the other environmental load. These people that have heavy metals, they've bioaccumulated for years, they get one of these bacteria or viruses, and their body's already challenged. The immune system's already distracted. These things have a place to hide from the immune system, and lo and behold, it's the perfect storm. It seems like that your already neurotoxic load plays a significant role in who gets sick.
Well, look at the similarity again in autism. If I have a neurotoxic mother, autoimmune mother, the chances that other serial immune injuries will tip me to the a chronic illness. If I come out relatively strong and I have good neuroimmune response, then I may not be affected by the vaccine or by the viruses or by the streptococcus that we just saw in a local the woman that works for me just we saw a strep infection at birth, and they put them right into the NICU because they forgot to give them something that would. So right to the NICU. So many babies are going right to the NICU. You're right. If you have the toxic cellular burden that you and I are talking about, the likelihood of accepting it. It's a vector disease, and here's how vectors work. You're shooting something into the vector, and the immune system, unprepared to handle it, says, "Wow, I don't know what that is. Should I fight it or should I not?" If it's a vaccine, it goes into the vector and rewrites the code. And if I don't have the right genetics, it may say, I don't know what that is. Is that, should I be fighting this thing or should I not? And so your immune system turns on automatically to fight it, and it can't fight anything else because it's so busy fighting something that it didn't have to fight. And it doesn't have anything left over to fight the opportunistic infection.
You brought up the word autoimmune with autism. Most people watching this would probably go, what? Autism's autoimmune? I did a talk several years ago, and I got people were wanting to fight me on that, that in fact is autoimmune, despite the literature that I felt supported that. You said that Lyme disease is autoimmune. I'm sure many of our viewers, that's the first time they've heard that. I believe autoimmune is far misdiagnosed, or I should say this way, underdiagnosed is a better word, because we just don't have the test to really determine it. We don't have names for it, but it sounds like you're agreeing with me that autoimmune is at the root of most unexplainable illnesses today.
I'm in complete agreement with you, because what it does, it creates an inflammatory neuroimmune response in the meninges, and that's in the new study by NIH and University of Virginia. It it affects
Michael, again. What are the meninges? Tell our viewers what the meninges are.
The meninges are coverings and cells and covering of neurological cells.
So what you're saying is their own immune system is attacking those areas, correct?
Right. What I'm saying is that the foreign objects traveling into the nervous system and even in the brain, the microglia and other things are activating to fight it. And that constant inflammatory response produces yet again another thing, ammonia, peroxynitrites, the microglia activation begins the inflammatory process.
Right. So the body's driving this inflammation because it's driving its own immune system.
Which, as a homeopath might say, which is a great response. A chiropractor might say that's a great response, but left unattended and chronic destroys the system.
Boom. That's it. We want that response in an acute illness, but the problem is when it continues and continues, that's the difference here that we're talking about. You know, Michael, so, you know, in your years of experience, what's the answer? I mean, you know, honestly, how do we shut off the immune system, Michael? Because that's really the key here, whether it's autism or whether it's Lyme or whether it's a neurodegenerative disease, how do we shut it down?
Yeah, really good question. We're still looking for it, and we're getting closer. And here's the story. It's not a drive-by doctoring situation. You don't just drive by and doctor it. Oh, here's your doxycycline for 2 weeks.
No.
So it's a drive-by. You don't do a drive-by with this. It is a, you know, again, what acupuncturists do, what homeopaths do, what chiropractors do. Where I'm unique, I went to medical school and studied brain and spinal cord injury for 3 years. And it's what I do, but it's not usually from a medical school. It's usually from a chiropractic school or, anybody who understands energy, because what is happening is it's a disruption of energy, cellular, and all that wonderful stuff we don't understand that is prana, chi, or Holy Spirit surrounding the cell. And so we don't completely understand that, but that is getting disrupted. So you're really separated from your source.
Yeah.
And so you don't have anything to revitalize. You don't. So the answer is multifactorial, or actually the response is multifactorial. And so it has to be a rehabilitation process, not a drive-by doctoring process.
Yeah, I want to encourage our viewers to watch an episode we did. Meredith can probably tell us the number here if she looks it up, but it was on the multi approach, Michael. And you know, you've heard me teach doctors this, you do it yourself. You know, it is a multi-therapeutic approach. And I want people to understand it's not that one thing. Everyone's always looking for that one thing. You know, we incorporate the cellular detox that we're talking about. We incorporate target supplements that, you know, to really reduce inflammation and to, you know, change the things, the pathways that we're talking about. You know, we talk about, you know, proper exercise. We utilize ancient healing, fasting, intermittent fasting, diet variation, all of these things. And we could add frequency to that, Michael. We could add the emotional healing to that. But the point is it's a multi-therapeutic approach. It's we're doing all of these things, and that's the only way that these chronic conditions will get well. Bottom line, you know, and the cellular healing is at the core. You know, we agree. The cellular detox, meaning that, you know, we've got to get the cell working, you know, and that their multi-therapeutic approach is really all about getting that cell working. So I encourage you to watch that episode. And Meredith, I don't know if you remember which one it was, but
I do. Episode 117 was your multi-therapeutic approach.
Yeah, we're going to have an article written on it as well. And I did even a video about it because, Michael, I'm so passionate about it because, you know, I think that's my frustration in the doctoring world, even criticism of the alternative world, that, you know, it's not so simple just taking up a bucket of supplements for this or that. It's not so simple. You know, you have to do all of these things that we're talking about, you know, in an integrative approach. You know, in Michael, you know this, I preach this. My goal is to teach them, you all, this process, because it took you years to get sick. You know, it's not going to be months, it's going to be years, ultimately, to where you can say, I'm healthier today than I was even before the symptoms started. You know, it is, it's years. So, you know, you have to be taught, people. You have to be taught the process, and that's the key to the process.
Well, it's so interesting, again, because my degree is in rehabilitation. We write programs. We don't write prescriptions. And so we create programs, and one of the things, you might be even old information, but it takes 18 months for nerve endings to heal.
Most
people leave their program after 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, man. We know that, you know, biblically, it's, you know, 7 years it takes the soil to regenerate. 7 years is the number of regeneration biblically. And, you know, I always said when I looked at what I did, you know, the lifestyle changes, the cellular detox, the healing. You know, I literally healed over a 7-year period, even though I got portions of my life back in the first year. You know, but it was a 7-year period, you know, and I'm very upfront with people, you know, that it takes time, and you have to learn these processes. You have to learn this multi-therapeutic approach, you know, and it's, most people don't want that, Michael. They want the pill, man. They want the pill.
They want the pill, and I can't help that. But that is... that's where the spiritual side in. We're even talking about repair, restore, and reconnect is the way we say it. We don't even call it. I did a Sunday school lesson one time that said we don't need any more ER words. You know, super, bigger, faster. We don't need super, bigger, faster, because they all are ER words. They should be RE words, which would be rejuvenate, repair, restore, reconnect. And so ultimately, if you do not do source spiritual work, you can't sustain your recovery.
Wow, Michael, that's a powerful statement. And, you know, you said it. You even brought it to the cell, right? It's that something around the cell that we have not identified. Science right now can't identify. And it's something spiritual, isn't it?
It is. I'd love to tell you. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I promise it. But this is, you know, I'm 62 now. I don't care what I say. There's actually in cytochrome C, there's this, it looks like a gold coin in Mario Brothers spinning inside the mitochondria. So it's sitting there spinning, and on one side is life, and then the other side is infinite source. God is on the other side of cytochrome C. but this is where the vibration piece comes. Because the vibration piece is so important, because if your original source is vibrating at an 8.3 hertz or whatever it is, whatever the standing wave in the universe is, everything in this world right this minute is an Orwellian inversion. It's like every matrix, everything is off, and we simply can't apply our own spiritual technologies because we are in kind of a zombie response. We just are numb. And I used a lot of crazy words there, but a few years ago, I would say I can see dark, I can see light in people. But over the past 2 years, after I've been seeing 18 to 25 year olds that simply don't have any thoughts. And I
see them.
Huh?
I see those too.
Yeah. So the bottom line is I used to think the kind of people who said what I just said were really crazy, but I'm not sure anymore.
You know what? I've come a long way on that myself, Michael.
Yeah. But the reason I do frequency work is to bring the vibration of the body up, and it's the quickest way I know how.
I don't know if you saw the episode I interviewed Bruce Lipton. I mean, you know who he is, wrote Biology of Being, brilliant stem cell biologist. And you know, the conversation went in that direction. Our thoughts change the vibration of our cells. It changes, it can drive inflammation, it can downregulate inflammation. Our thoughts. You know, we talk about neurotoxins, but we know that wounds in our life, and we've had so many past shows on this, you know, create a different vibration, affect in our memory of our membranes, our DNA. It's like, my gosh, it's like when we remove these emotional toxins, the physical, the chemical, change the vibration of the cell. You know, it's multi-therapeutic approach.
It's a multi-therapeutic approach, including spiritual source. And so, yes. So my joke has been, and I'm really not allowed to talk about all this because I'm still registered Republican, and by charter we're supposed to not be empathetic or empathic. It says it right in the charter. But and then nobody laughs anymore. And I said, it was a great joke before George. So, but anyway. So the bottom line is that the cell is still it. And I got there the same time you did, and you just had really nice videos and teachings on it. And I was pretty taken back by the idea that somebody could verbalize it.
Yeah.
And so, but ultimately in Lyme disease, there is a lot of different components. And so, as you said, a thought actually has negative covalence in the cell. Or it has a covalent, it has an energy. Let's put it that way. I don't know what the exact words are, but it has that does change the chemical reactions in the cell. So yeah. A thought can be stored in that way.
Absolutely. I've learned to interview people before I even take them on as a client, a coach, because I want to see what their thoughts are, because it's very difficult to change certain people, and you can tell by their language patterns whether they're helpable at that point or not. You know, maybe one day it will change. However, there's a time when someone is helpable and when they're not. You can tell them by the words that they speak, ironically enough, because all the greatest work that we do can be useless with the wrong thoughts and the thought patterns. And it's a major, major interference, that's for sure. Well, Michael, we're blessed to have you on our side, no doubt. As a cellular healing doctor, and we need more of us, Michael, and that's my passion, is creating more and more of us with a like mindset. And we share information with the united goal to change the world and make a difference. And for me, it's about, you know, really answering the prayers of crying world. There's so many people crying out for answers. So much crap is out there, Michael. You know, it's like our goal is to make a difference and bring the real deal. And you're bringing the real deal, Dr. Michael, and we really appreciate that. We really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing just a lot of great stuff that we have in common and you've done for years.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here, and I'm pretty sure that we're going to keep talking about this somewhere in some venue somewhere.
There's no doubt about it. We sure will.
Okay.
That's for sure. Thank you so much, Dr. Payne, for joining Cellular Healing TV. What a wealth of knowledge you are. I still have lots of questions for you, so maybe we can have you on again in a future show, because there's so much alignment with what you and Dr. Pompa believe, and this message and what you guys are teaching is so important to bring to the world. So thank you both for the show today. So grateful for both of you and for all of you listening. Hope you got a lot of value out of the show today. I know I sure did. And thanks so much, and we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.
The information shared on today's show can be accessed through our websites, drpompa.com and revelationhealth.com. This Cellular Healing TV episode and past shows are also available for download on iTunes. Help others get real health solutions by liking, reviewing, and sharing our podcast.